The message is on hearing from God. How do I hear from God? That's kind of the question. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to invite you to have your Bibles open. We're going to talk about the Hebrews passage and the Deuteronomy passage. So you're ready to look around at that. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is a reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Gracious and almighty God, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we have the question of how do I hear from God? And that's, you know, if you have that question today, how do I hear from God? God, are you there? You've got to know that's been a question throughout history. That's a question that people struggle with throughout history. If any of you know your world history, your ancient history, the seven wonders of the ancient world, one of them was located at Delphi. Does anybody know what it was? The Oracle at Delphi, someone said. Yes, the Oracle at Delphi, right? And the Oracle at Delphi was this lady would sit, I guess, in a cave or something, and she would sit there, and people would go and ask her questions. She would go into a trance, and she would speak a language no one understood, except for these priests who would translate the answer back to the person. And this was a wonder of the world. I mean, because people want to hear from the divine, so people would go, and they would ask questions, anything from like foreign policy questions from leaders to personal questions, and people would go to the Oracle at Delphi. This is a question people have had. How do I hear from God, or how can I hear from God? How can I make that work? And this question, I think, is one that people have today as well. People want to know, how do we hear from God? Maybe you just want to know, God, are you there? Are you really there? Or, God, what should I do next? What should I do with my life? Is this going to be okay? Let me take a second, though, because I want to recognize something. When we talk about hearing from God, I suspect that you guys already know some things. I'm sure you already do. So let's start this way. What are some of the ways we hear from God today? Dreams. People have dreams, visions. What else? Prayers, during prayer. Still small voice, so maybe in quiet time, yeah. What else? One another, hear from other people, yeah, yeah. What else? Reading the Bible, yeah, scripture. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. We've got this, I made a quick list, but you guys, I think, hit them. Because you know, right? We hear from God many different ways. Prayer, and you can do prayer and fasting or prayer in the quiet time for the still small voice. You could have dreams or visions. God can put a passion on your heart. That was part of my calling into ordained ministry. Maybe it's other people that speak a word into your life. Maybe it's scripture. So you know this, right? You know. So if the question was, what are the methods of hearing from God? I suspect we wouldn't need to do this because you already know. Some ways, yet people still have this question, how do I hear from God? But the first thing I want to say is, you know some of the things that need to happen. You need to be in prayer. You need to read scripture. You need to listen to godly people. You know this. But the question, I think, is a little deeper and a little different than that. If you have this question, how do I hear from God, though, you're not alone. You're not alone. As I was thinking about this sermon, I thought about a time in my life, and I was a person of faith and it was a really dry time spiritually for me. Have you ever had one of those dry times where God feels distant and you're not sure where he is? And so I started praying, and I prayed. I wanted a sign, something, like God make lightning or show up as an angel, something, you know, make a sound, anything. And I would pray, and for months I would pray day after day. And this is what I want, and this dominated my prayers. I'd pray for other things, but the thing I really wanted was, God, would you just show me you're there? Would you just give me some sort of a sign? I just need to know. I feel alone. Would you just let me know? And it was a dry and a difficult time. So for months I'm praying this. if you can imagine that. And then one day I sat down, and this it wasn't even like a thunderbolt or anything. I just sat down. I was just flipping through the hymnal, and I was looking at some of the songs, and just kind of going through some of the songs. Songs like, maybe you know this one. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it was funny, for whatever reason, during that time, God decided to just kind of release me from that difficulty, and I had a peace. And it wasn't like a thunderclap, and the angel didn't show up like I wanted it to, but I just, something about nothing but the blood of Jesus, and it was okay. And I just had a peace about the whole thing. Is kind of weird. And I realized something had happened to me, something had changed, because at this point, what was my biggest concern? I wanted to see God. That my biggest desire was for God. My biggest desire was for God. And it suddenly hit me that Andy wanted to see something so he felt better. God wanted to make me a person who desired God above all things. That makes sense? And sometimes, I don't know, I found when I want to hear from God, Andy's got one agenda, and God seems to have another. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, right? But here I was, and I realized that, no, God was there all along. And he was just shaping me into a person who desired him above all things. Not a bad thing. So if you have this desire to hear from God, you're not alone. God's people have wanted to hear from him, or to hear from the divine. We want to hear something from the other side. I think that's part of what's going on in Deuteronomy chapter 18, as you heard those verses, 9 through 14. These rules that God is giving about not sacrificing your children in the fire and not going to soothsayers or diviners or that sort of thing. And you know, there wouldn't be the rule if it wasn't going to be a problem. Does that make sense? You don't make the rule if it's not an issue. So God had to say, look, you can't do this. You can't go to the people who talk to the dead. You can't go to the diviners or the soothsayers. You can't do that. And this is not the way that you're going to hear from me. It doesn't work this way. God reveals himself on his own terms. They wanted to hear from God, but God was saying, this isn't the way it's going to work. It's kind of like I wanted God to show up in my way, but God revealed himself in a different way because God's plans were different than mine. Now, we may have questions for God, real questions. What path should I take? How do I do this? But what if God is after something different? This Deuteronomy passage, I think, is important because it gives us a warning. It teaches us a couple different things, but I think one of the things it teaches us is a warning. I mean, think about this. At the heart of this pagan worshiping, if I go to a diviner or a soothsayer and I ask them my question and then I get the answer from the divine and then I get to apply it to my life, or the child sacrifice, as horrible as that is, the goal of that was to do something so extreme that you force the hand of the divine God or whatever to do what you want. So sacrifice my child, I get many children, a fruitful life, so I do that. Or even if I learn some sort of a magic thing where I draw a circle and do a star and burn candles and then I ask God to answer my question. Well, in all of those scenarios, who is in control? The worshiper, right? The worshiper is the one pulling the strings. Here's my question, God, you need to answer. Yeah, I'm going to go this way to figure out my thing. And all of a sudden, the worshiper is at the center of all that. Even with something as horrible as child sacrifice, you're saying, I'm going to do something so extreme, you have to act, right? And the worshiper is in the center. How do we hear from God? I don't think it's that way, though. I think the thing that Deuteronomy is warning us about is you're not the one in control. In Scripture, you find God communicating with people often. I was thinking about this, and it's weird to do a how-to sermon on how to listen or how to hear from God. And then if you look at so many examples in Scripture of how it happens, and here you'll find out. Samuel, if you remember the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel, as a kid, his mom dropped him off at the temple, and he's raised by the old priest Eli. And Samuel, one night, hears from God, and you remember what he does? He runs to the priest, Eli, and he says, did you call for me? I mean, he heard a voice, and he thought it was a priest. And he said, no, it wasn't me. And he goes back, and he goes to sleep, and he hears the voice again. And what does he do? runs back because he thinks it's Eli. It took him till the third time, right? Does this look like a guy who's clued in on the whole God conversation thing at this point? Probably not. I mean, it took him, somebody had to tell him to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Moses, out tending sheep, was Moses looking for God? He saw a burning bush. He went over there. God engaged him in a conversation. What did Moses do in that conversation? He got into an argument, right? "No, God, we're not going to do it this way," right? Is Moses someone who had figured out the special way to talk to God? It looked like God kind of ambushed Moses, is kind of the way it appears to me. Abraham, Paul makes a big deal of saying this. Abraham was called for no reason other than God just said, "You're my guy." Right? It doesn't say, and then Abraham was really super duper special and had figured out the special way to get God's attention. No, it just says, and one day God called Abram and said, "You're going to go and I'm going to give you this land," for no reason. Isaiah had a vision of God. You remember how that is in Isaiah 6? And he freaks out because he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I've come from a people of unclean lips." And an angel had to come and take a coal and like cleanse his lips before he could move on because he was freaked out. Jeremiah was called by God and spends the first half of the book weeping. Or if you look at Zechariah, which is John the Baptist's dad, you remember the story of when the angel predicted that John the Baptist would be born. Zechariah's in the temple and he's doing this stuff. An angel shows up, right? And once again, the angel says, "Well, there's going to be a baby." And Zechariah says, "No, there's not." He gets in an argument again. I mean, these aren't like people that are like have the whole God conversation thing figured out, right? So then the angel says, "What? You're not going to talk, right? Maybe wives, sometimes you wish this magic would happen. Sometimes, I don't know. You're not going to talk until you tell the name of your son." So then that goes on. Then Mary, the mother of Jesus, she wasn't expecting the angel either. She responded a little bit better. I don't know what that says, ladies, but she did. She responded better. She was ready to go. The disciples were called by Jesus. Did you notice that? Jesus wasn't called by the disciples. We don't hear the story of Matthew wandering around and picking Jesus. We hear the story of Jesus finding Matthew and saying, "Hey, you need to come to me." Saul thought he was on God's team, and then it turns out he wasn't, and then Jesus ambushed him on the road and changed his name to Paul. This guy wasn't, I mean, if you're looking for a hall of fame of people who have figured out how to talk to God, I don't think we look in Scripture, do you? It seems that God just finds people and does it. So I hesitate to do this big how-to here from God's sermon because that assumes that I have a method in which I summon God. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not all that convinced that I'm in control here in this relationship. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, maybe I should do, as I do the sermon, I should say, how do you be the type of person that God would talk to? And then I looked at Scripture and I thought, God really doesn't have very high standards at all. Now, prayer is important. All that stuff is absolutely important. But the thing that happens in prayer isn't that you gain control over God. It seems that God has been the one. What these people found out is God was the one that was seeking after them all along. How do we hear from God? Sometimes we find out that God was there all along. So where does that leave us? If you look at Deuteronomy 18 and you keep reading, God talks about raising up a prophet like Moses. When you get to Acts chapter 3, Peter says, "I know who this prophet is that God was going to raise up." Any guesses? Jesus. This person is Jesus. It's like in Deuteronomy 18, it's kind of like God is saying, "Look, I know you're going to want to hear from me. You don't do it this way. I'll come find you, right? I'm going to talk to you." So we get to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. There are very few verses in the King James Version of the Bible that I understand what it's saying because it's all the old King's English. And I know some of you learn verses that way, and that's cool. I just don't know what it's saying. However, there is one verse I think is really cool. It's probably because I'm a dork. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, you got to hear how it says this. I have Pat put it up. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets." He just means long ago God spoke in a lot of different ways to the prophets. But he said in sundry times and diverse manners. For whatever reason, I think that's just kind of a neat way to say it. Nobody says sundry or diverse anymore. I don't know, it seemed like good words. God spoke to the prophets in many different ways in the past. Many different ways. And then it goes on to say, "But in these last days, he has spoken to us," how? "Through a son." In these last days, he has spoken to us through a son, Jesus Christ. He spoke to us in many ways before. These last days, he's spoken to us in Jesus Christ. So, if the question is, how do I hear from God? My answer is Jesus Christ. And then you say, but Pastor, that's not what I meant, right? You can't answer everything with Jesus. I don't care if you're a pastor and we're in church. That's not the answer to everything, right? It can't be. How do I hear from God? Jesus Christ. Funny thing happened. I was praying yesterday, and I was praying through the daily office, and I heard from God, and I didn't expect to. So there you go. And I was praying through Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26 were the verses. And in it, Jesus, of all people, is talking. And he says, it's the whole, what good does it do a man to gain the whole world but to forfeit a soul? Those who try to keep their life will lose it, and those who give their lives away will find eternal. You know, that whole thing, the whole thing that you have to give up yourself in order to gain eternal life. And a lot of times when I read that, I hear something along the lines of, you know, don't be selfish. You gotta give up things in order to receive what God has for you. And I think that's there for sure, but God set something different on my heart yesterday as I was praying through this. Maybe we get in the way of hearing from God sometimes. Like maybe Andy gets in the way of Andy hearing from God. So in order to really hear from God, sometimes I need to set myself aside. Because the thing that was laid on my heart is this. A lot of people who ask the question, how do I hear from God, have a fear that maybe God is absent. And they wonder things like, am I going to get better? How do I pay this bill? What do I do with my future? What do I do with my life? Is this relationship the right one for me to be in? And behind each of those sorts of questions is a really heavy load. So as I was praying that yesterday, I realized that we carry secrets and hurts, we carry brokenness and bad habits and poor attitudes, and sometimes this stuff gets really heavy, and we just want to know, God, can you help me with this? Are you there? And as I thought about those burdens that we carry, I thought, it's probably not a good idea for me to give you a list of procedures. So then if you do these procedures right, then God will answer you, and then you can find the next step in the process and be able to fix things. I don't think Jesus is interested in adding more burdens on to what you have to do. I don't want to add to this load that you're already carrying. In fact, I want to encourage you today to figure out a way to set it aside. Maybe when Jesus said you have to set aside yourself to gain eternal life, maybe part of what he meant is those things that we carry with us, those secrets, those struggles, those difficulties, those hard times, those things we need to set aside so that Jesus can pick us up. I want to encourage you to let it go today, to let it go, and to throw yourself at the feet of Jesus so that you can hear God's word to you. How do I hear from God, Jesus Christ? What word, what do I mean by that? What word does God have for you in Jesus? Well, let's say you came here and you don't feel lovable. I'm not sure if anybody loves me. I feel alone. What word does God have for you in Jesus? Well, God so loved the world, you, that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Maybe today you come here and you're weary. What does God say to you through Jesus? Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you have secret sins, habits, things you can't stop? Does the devil sit on your shoulder and say, if they knew this about you, they would kick you out of here right now? This sin is too big. It's too horrible. It's too bad. If they knew what kind of person you were. God knows what kind of person you are, exactly what kind of person you are. And in Jesus Christ, he says, I forgive you. Maybe you think, well, I don't know. How serious are you about this forgiveness, God? We just have to look at the cross of Jesus Christ to see how serious God is about forgiving us. Are you hurting? Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Jesus is the one who wept with two sisters who had just lost their brother. Is your future uncertain? What's God's word to us through Jesus? Jesus said, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you, and I don't give as the world gives. Do not be troubled. Do not be afraid." So the real challenge, I guess, we have today is, can we let go of some stuff in order to hear Jesus? I really think the Christian religion is, the Christian faith is about a person, not about a set of things you have to do. It's about a person, Jesus Christ. And just being Jesus crazy. Because in Jesus Christ, God says, "I am so serious about my love for you. I will go, I will do whatever it takes to bring you home. And I don't care what sort of person you are. I just want you to know my son, and I will take care of it." How do we hear from God? Jesus Christ is God's love letter to us. We are called towards Jesus Christ. And so behind that question of how do I hear from God, a lot of times is a bunch of burdens. Can you set those down? Because we need to throw ourselves at the feet of Christ. We need to set them down and let somebody else pick them up. We need to understand that God carried our burdens on the cross. We need to be a people whose main job and concern is to just say, "I'm going to let this go so that I can be at the feet of Christ." How do I hear from God? Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to do communion a little bit differently.